Good afternoon. I'm Anthony McCarthy. You've tuned to Today with Dr. K. I'm sitting in for Dr. K today. It is amazing to me how many times I hear stories that people go into restaurants, they go into stores, and the clerks are really hateful, disrespectful. They are being uncivil. What happened to civility? What happened to the customer is always right? What happened to this idea that if you give people respect, they're going to give you respect back? We're going to talk about civility over the next hour. And what do you believe is going on in our society where we are cutting each other off in traffic, screaming and yelling out the windows, cussing, that we are in front of our children? And we do things. I saw a video on social media of parents at a softball game. The umpire was 13 years old, made a call. The parents didn't like it. The parents end up fighting on the field. What is happening in our society? I told you that I come into a building here on campus almost once or twice a week. Same security guard. I speak to everyone. It's just a habit I have of saying good afternoon, how are you doing? She does not speak back. She will look at you as if you are an alien. So today I said, why do you not respond when people say good afternoon? She said it is not her job to respond. She's security. It's not her job to speak to people. I said, what about when they speak to you? I want to hear your stories. Why do you think we have become a less civil society? Why is it that people seem to be much more disrespectful? Do you remember last week there was a story on the news, tragic story. Grandmother takes her grandchild to the Target department store. She's getting an 11-month-old child out of the back seat. There's an empty parking space beside her car. A car is pulling into that parking space. Someone behind that car guns it, speeds around that car, and tries to get into that parking space to beat that person into the parking space, hits and kills the grandmother. The woman who hit her was 18 years old, did not have her driver's license. But guess what? She was out of jail the next day because a vehicle is not considered a deadly weapon. They could not charge her with murder because her intent was not to hit the woman and certainly not to kill her. Where I live on St. Paul, and this is the last story, and I'm going to open the phones. We've got a bunch of folks who want to chime in on this. I live on St. Paul Street, mixed neighborhood, blacks, whites, Asians, a lot of people. I notice that when I go sit out on my porch, when my neighbors come out of their apartments, come out of their houses, the black neighbors say, hello, how are you doing? Good afternoon, good morning. The white neighbors look at you. They literally look at me like, why are you sitting on those steps? They do not speak. And when you speak to them, because they're staring at you, and you say, good afternoon or good morning, they seem stunned. They seem so taken aback that someone is being courteous or being nice or being neighborly. What has happened in our society? Elliot's calling from Northeast Baltimore. Elliot, I appreciate you listening. Welcome to the program.
And I thank you, Anthony, for taking my call. Man, I can relate so well to what you just finished saying. Mm. I used to live in an area not too far from St. Paul. High rise and pretty popular. And once again, you know, we have people from all different cultures. So to make a long story short, you know, I'm a retired school teacher. Okay, so at this time I'm in my late 50s, and I'm a relatively slightly built man with white hair, well, salt and pepper hair, and, you know, pretty conservatively dressed.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I'm sitting in the lobby, and I'm waiting for the front desk person to come up because I had misplaced my keys.
Oh.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm reading the newspaper, calm and casual, speaking to people, you know, who I'd been knowing for years. I was there for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And to make a long story short, a young Caucasian lady came in, I guess maybe early 20s or so, and she walked in and she looked at me and did a double take.
And you know what's happening.
I know you know what's happening. So she asked to see my ID. Once again, I can relate to so many callers who have, that's why I had to call in. And anyway, I said, well, let me see yours. And we went back and forth. She says, well, you know, I can call security. I said, so can I. I know him very well. So I sat there for a few more minutes and we did the outstaring thing. So to make a long story short, the front desk manager came in, had just taken a break and came in, and I had to pull the manager over to the side, and I said, this person's asking me for ID. I'm asking her. I said, I've been here for 20 years. How about her? And she looked at me, and she said, well, I've been here for about a year now. I said, oh, okay. Okay, I see what's happening now. And she just looked at me, and the front desk manager said, oh, this guy's been here before you were born. And I just stared at her.
Wow.
And it was like, okay, the next time I see you, I'm going to ask you for ID. And I did it every time I saw her. Maybe it sounds mean-spirited, but I just wanted to make sure she understood to get a taste of her own medicine.
Mm.
So when I would see her on the elevator, sometimes she looked like she wanted to cry. She never did apologize.
Mm.
And that's what really ticked me off. Never did apologize. I've been there for 20 years, over 20 years.
But, Elliot, do you understand?
Been there for a year, please.
Do you understand, Elliot, that some people would argue that she was afraid?
And I understand that, Anthony, but the thing, once again, and I don't want to get into the image thing. I mean, if you saw me right now, you'd be like, oh, he's the least of my worries. This dude is, like, petite, you know. I mean, wearing a shirt and tie. I have salt and pepper hair, and now it's all white. Anyway, I'm relatively well-groomed, well-dressed, and she had nothing to be afraid of anything.
Mm.
Some of her crazy friends who I saw coming on the elevator with her. I mean, it's, like, really wild-looking people coming in with her. And I'm thinking, I should be the one who's afraid of you guys.
Mm.
So it's almost like the story, I'm going to make it real brief. What was his name? Skip Chip. He was a genealogist. He had the TV show on. I can't think of his last name right off the top. But anyway, he was caught trying to get into his own home. He lived in a ritzy neighborhood in Chicago, I believe. And he's trying to get in, and the neighbors called the cops on him.
Yes.
You probably know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I remember Skip Gates,
who is a
wonderful, well-known, internationally known professor, genealogist, was trying to get into his house next door.
Exactly.
And his neighbors didn't recognize him and called the police and said a black man is breaking into Skip Gates' house.
Exactly, because remember, the next day or so, he and President Obama had
a beer.
Luncheon or whatever, but I could relate to him so much.
You know,
when that happened to him, I'm like, oh my God, this is similar. I mean, I didn't have to, all I had to do was wait for the front desk manager. It was just the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And you had nothing to be afraid of, absolutely nothing.
Elliot, thank you for your story. Thanks for sharing. We live in a society. I grew up in the South. Many of you have heard me. I'm a boy from the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. My mother went out of their way to teach me to be mannerly, that you say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. Even when people are being rude to you, that you return being a gentleman. We live in a society now where people go out of their way to be rude to you, to be hateful to you, to be disrespectful. What do you think is happening in our society where we are learning to be uncivil and we're teaching our children to be uncivil? Valerie's calling from downtown Baltimore. Valerie, appreciate you listening. Welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to, you know, take you back to the previous subject, but I have been waiting.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Discuss that. Thank you. One thing about it is that for us to have lived through so much brutality by white people, and I mean a lot of brutality, we have learned to be the model black person.
Yeah.
I mean, as we have grown up through all of this, our parents, our ancestors,
mm-hmm.
once they were freed, tried to assimilate. And to assimilate, they had to humble themselves.
Mm.
And so they weren't able to be angry. They had to hold their anger, and they had to try to be what white people would perceive as the model black person.
Mm.
So as a model black person, we know that we can't stand up or we can't stand out. We know that we have to grin and bear the microaggression,
mm-hmm.
and we have to, you know, do a job, a mediocre job, and on our jobs, even with, for instance, like you were saying, examples of people who, black people who are, you know, exposed to white people being aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And in my job, I have a degree, and I have to listen and I have to kowtow
wow.
to uneducated white people for my job.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I stand up and I stand out, I get punished.
Mm.
So, and then, you know, we don't stand together, you know,
that's
on
right.
our jobs.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
we're always afraid of what's going to happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
If we appear angry and we stand up, or if we kneel or anything, there's backlash.
Mm.
It's called white lash.
Mm.
And it's horrific. We are punished for standing up. And then if we don't stand up, and we don't do something, if we don't arm ourselves, for instance, if we do arm
ourselves,
mm-hmm. they say we deserve to die.
Oh.
If we don't arm ourselves, it's our fault that we did die. So either way, they find a way to back us, paint us in the corner. I'm with Leo. I'm a fighter. I have the, I swear I'm the ancestor of Angela Davis and Harriet Tubman rose up in one. And while I may be on my job and I may be under duress and I may have to fight, I have to fight for my position with a degree.
Mm.
I work under people with no degree. And I have to fight every day on my job, and I will not give up. And I suggest that everyone else arm themselves, not necessarily physically, but you stand up and you stand with each other and you stand behind each other, because guess what? They do. And that's what I have to say.
Valerie,
I
thank
my job
you so
every
much.
Day with this, every day.
Thank you for
taking my call.
Thank you for sharing that story. Thank you for doing what you do. Does it make sense, folks? Should we just keep recording these incidents, post them on social media as yet another example of how people have become uncivil? A friend of mine, Karen Miller, I talk to her every day. We talk. She sent me a Twitter post. And it broke my heart. It was of a young girl who was visiting a church. And an older woman followed her into the bathroom and told her she was dressed inappropriately. Told her, you are not to come back into this church in those shorts. And the young girl asked her, how dare you? I'm visiting this church. And the woman said, you don't obviously know who I am, and pointed to her name badge or something, made this woman feel so unwelcome in that church. What has happened in our society? Kyle's the next caller from Baltimore. Kyle, can't wait to hear what you have to share with us. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir. I'm going to try to make two really quick points.
Okay.
One, because I'm on the previous topic. I'm in a fraternity, and I had the experience of wearing colors while black.
Okay.
A white man thought I was in a gang because I was wearing my fraternity colors,
mm-hmm.
and called a cop over and told him that I was a gang member. And the cop looked at the guy and looked at me and said, you don't know what those are? And he said, no, I've never seen them before. Those are Greek letters. This gentleman obviously went to college. And it was a white cop who said, Morgan?
Wow.
And I said, yes. And he said, sir, he's not in anybody's gang. He's in a fraternity. And he looked at me and he said, have a nice day, sir.
Mm.
Now, that's
wow.
Now, as far as, yes, that actually happened to me. Civility, I think that we don't value each other.
Yeah.
I think that the social media and the world has told us that we're individuals and we're no longer a community.
That's right.
So I don't have to be nice to you. I don't have to be courteous to you. You don't matter. I am what matters. And when you put yourself at the center of everything, that's why the security guard doesn't
wow.
have to speak to you. Because she's the center of the world. You have to gravitate around her.
How old are you, Kyle?
Ma'am? Me, sir?
How old are you?
I'm 48.
How did you become so wise? This is amazing that social media really has taught us that we are anonymous, that we can say anything, we can do anything, and it doesn't matter. It's about me.
Yes, the world. That's why I say, you know, I'm a recent Facebook. My wife had to actually make me a page because I wouldn't do it myself. I have so many friends. It makes you the center of your own little universe, and sometimes that's good.
Yeah.
But most people can't handle that because they've never had the kind of attention that's positive, and they don't know that negative attention is not good, and they feel like that. They feel empowered by degrading you, by making you feel worthless makes them feel more worse. And that's the civility thing. I don't want to take up any more time because people are waiting.
I appreciate you
taking my call, sir.
Thank you for sharing your perspective with us. What about social media, folks? Is it a situation where we have learned that we can say anything to anybody? We can do anything? I can call you out of your name on social media and it doesn't matter because I'm this anonymous name profile on social media that we haven't learned. We become a tech society. We are texting each other. People literally sit in the same room with each other and text each other. We were at Christmas dinner this past Christmas. My nieces and nephews were sending each other messages. Now, maybe they were trying to keep secrets. I don't know. But they were sending messages and were sitting in the same room. My mother made everyone turn their phones off. She said she didn't understand why we're texting when we can talk to each other. Troy's on the line. Troy's calling from Glen Burnie. Troy, I appreciate you listening. Welcome to the program.
How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm good. I'm great.
I don't blame it on social media. I'll give you a story. I used to live in Glen Burnie, funny enough, right? So I was a contractor. I owned a cleaning company. So I did this school all the way down in Pasadena. It's the last stop where you get on a ferry and go to Gibson Island, right?
Mm-hmm.
I did that school. Then I did all the banks that were in Shoppers, or at the time I think they were Metro. But anyway, right? So one day I was so tired, man, I just put my back to the side of my apartment building when I got off, and I kind of sat down and dozed off for a little bit, right?
Mm.
And, you know, the security drove around, and he's like, who are you? I need to see your ID. So I said, oh, well, you know, I live right here. That's my window. I lived on the first floor. I can see my window, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's my window. And man, I think I left my ID in my car, man. But I'm cool. I live here, right? And so even after I showed him my ID, he told me I had to get up because I was loitering.
I said,
no, I'm not moving. Actually, I'm sleepy, brother. You know, this is what happened. He pulled his gun on me. Yeah. And guess what happened 2 weeks later?
Mm.
I had a night job at Royal Farms. I did the graveyard shift. And I was talking to, I saw this other security guard, and I explained the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out that he was the owner of the security company.
Wow.
And he was a white dude, and he said, I've gotten so many complaints from tenants for that dude, and he fired him.
Oh, wow.
He fired him, and he apologized to me and all that. He said, if you want to sleep in front of your door, you can sleep in front of your door. Because I was the type of dude that would sleep on the concrete. I was so tired, man.
Mm.
I was working.
You're working hard, Troy.
I'm a Jamaican, man. You know, I had 2.5 jobs, and I was
That's
at school,
right.
And I was, man, you know, I was just working, brother.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, but trust me, I understand. It's not social media. It's just people in general, man. They're just empowered, and the color of your skin does have a lot to do with it with some people.
Yeah.
With some people, because they're afraid.
Mm.
They're just afraid. I don't know why. I mean, I'm only 6 foot, 260 pounds. You don't need to fed me, right?
Mm.
But you have a good day, brother.
Troy, thanks for your call. I appreciate you sharing your story. Now, folks, is it a situation where there is a teachable moment? If you go into a store, if you go into a restaurant and someone is rude, if your waiter or your waitress is rude to you, disrespectful to you, is it a teachable moment where you're going to call the manager and say, this person was rude to me? Or do you just chalk it up that some people just don't have social graces. They just don't have the kind of manners that we were all taught. And you just chalk it up. Or is it someone, like Troy said, lost their job for being disrespectful? What do you think? 410-319-8888. I want you to share your story with us. Tell us what has happened to you. Why is it? Why do you think? Some people say it's social media, that we just become anonymous names and profiles, and we're not. Why our children will literally sit in the room with us on the phone. 410-319-8888. Robert's calling from Northwest Baltimore. Robert, I appreciate you calling. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm wonderful.
Hey, man, I raised up in Baltimore, man. That's been going on for years. incidents, walking while you're black, talking while you're black, stop and fist. This is going on for almost, before you even gave it a name.
Wow.
Gave it a name. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Better still, let's talk about just how ignored you really are being black. I believe that the director of Parks and Recreation need to be fired for not having those pools clean and ready for our kids when they got out of school.
Yep.
I think that's a flaw. I think that's breathing when you're black.
Yep.
Want to swim when you're black. Man, you know, you can put that in all categories if you want to. And also, I want to address that woman that called here that had this doctorate or whatever she had and afraid to speak up on the job.
Mm-hmm.
And why did you get the doctorate? Why did you get the degree if you're not going to stand up for something? And that's how you usher in the next person that comes behind you with your strength, not with your weakness. And, you know, we get into positions. Look, we need somehow to be our damn boss, and we ought to stop that. If they go to an interview, as much as they say we're not qualified, if they're in an interview and they say they can do it, make them prove it they can do it. And don't be helping them do their work. That's what it is. We're just too nice, and that we're documenting our own existence.
Robert, I got to take a break. I appreciate your call. Thanks for sharing your perspective with us. Folks, we're talking about civility. What's happened in our society? We've become text society, text each other. We don't speak to each other, call each other. I want to hear your stories. Glord, James, and others, we're coming to you after this break. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Anthony McCarthy. You're listening to Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Good afternoon. I'm Anthony McCarthy. This is Today with Dr. K. Dr. K had to take care of some personal business with her family. And any opportunity I get to come and sit with my family here at WEAA, I jump at the chance. So, folks, today on Dr. K, we are talking about civility. What's happened in our society when you used to be very respectful? You used to be respectful to your elders. When you would get on a bus. And my mother taught me this so early. If I was sitting on a crowded bus and a senior citizen got on the bus, you stood up and you offered that senior your seat. Or if you were sitting in a house and you were at a family event and a senior came into the room, an elder came into the room, you stood up and offered that person your seat. Try to do that today in Baltimore on a bus. You better not ask that young person if you can have their seat. They may whip up on you. Civility has been tossed out the window. 410-319-8888. What do you think is behind it? Have we become this tech society where we really just don't do anything but text each other? We don't even call. Some people tell me they'd rather text you than talk to you on the telephone. I used to think it was my annoying voice. Maybe they're just sick of hearing my voice. Text me. Don't call me. Glord is calling from Glen Oak. Gwen Oak, Glord, always great to talk to you. Welcome to the program.
Yes, McCarthy, it's always a pleasure to. Believe it or not, what's happening, by us having a new generation, mm-hmm. all generations, when they come through, because, you know, we come into the world knowing nothing,
yep.
and if you're not being taught by the schools or family members, you ain't going to know nothing. So you're going to be wild, you know, out of control and do what you want to do. But some people do have a lot of respect and some don't. But dealing with his new generation, it's kind of hard because me being a community person, we have a stable community, homeowners and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So once they came in and then the property owners, absentee landlords cannot sell their properties.
Wow.
So they go ahead and rent it out. So these people, these rentals and absentee landlords, when they come in, I mean renters, when they come in, you know, they don't know nothing from nothing. They ain't trying to get to know us because I had people to live in my neighborhood for 20 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't speak with each other on either side, you know, to neighbors, you know. But it's definitely broken. And I'm telling you, it's just rough for all of us because of if they're not getting good education coming through the Board of Education, because, again, I was raised up in Turner Station. School teachers, police, everybody lived in our community. It was a role model community that we was trying to set it out for, a role model for the whole city. But if you haven't come through good communities like that, it's a struggle for all of us.
Glord, thank you for that call. Thanks for sharing that story. I think Glord is speaking to what we were all you knew your neighbors. You knew, and that's why you didn't do anything in front of Miss Jones, because Miss Jones could not wait for your mom to get home, because not only was Miss Jones likely to whip your tail, but when your mom got home, you were going to get it a second time, because people knew each other. People spoke to each other. People were respectful and had manners. Somehow we have lost that as a society. Now, the other thing is, some people believe they don't want their clerk at the grocery store to be friendly to them. Just do your job, bring these things up. Don't carry on a conversation. Don't ask me about my day. Don't ask me anything. Ring this up, take my cash, give me my change, and I'm out of here. What's going on? James is the next calling from Baltimore. James, I appreciate you listening. What's happened in our society?
Well, let me be frank and short. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Let me be frank and short. One, black people talk, white people act. You follow me?
Okay.
All black people do is talk. The white man don't talk. He act.
Mm-hmm.
And in Afro-Americans in this country, what I find, I'm not from here.
Really?
They tend for you, if they... The white man tell them run, they asking you how fast and how far.
Wow.
They never ask why I must run.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not from here. And you know what? I stood up to my boss. And you know what if my fellow Afro-Americans that are born here said?
What did he say?
You better do what the man tell you or he'll fire you.
Wow.
You know what I told them? Where I come from, we don't kiss ass. We kick ass.
Oh. All right, James, we appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us. We have to be very careful. You know, this is public radio. We can't use curse words. We try to use a very, very colorful language, but we don't use profanity on the air. 410-319-8888. What's happening in our society? Everything starts at home. And if you live in a home where your mama, your daddy talk to people anyway or talk to you anyway, and then you come out and you think that you can talk to your neighbors, you can talk to the other kids at school, you can talk. There is a video that is very popular where a teacher comes into a classroom. There are a bunch of little kids sitting on the floor. There are parents around the outside of the room. And the teacher's like, good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, students. And then I think the little kid says, shut up, and calls her a B to the teacher. And then she's like, oh, are we not having a good day? Or we need to calm down? And he does it again. Wow. If Mary Haynes had heard that Anthony McCarthy had spoken to his teacher like that, she would have been up there in that school so quick, and she would have taken great pleasure in whipping my behind in front of all of my classmates. She would have wanted to teach me a lesson. Dan's calling from Washington, D.C. Dan, I'm excited to have you call. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to say that first and foremost, and I'm not offering this as an excuse, but the world is always kind of getting more and more and more in a hurry.
Yeah.
And that is one underlying factor throughout much of it.
So true.
So I'll focus on my comment on the job, the work,
mm-hmm.
and basically where the public meets the people who are working in a particular job, whether it's service industry or anything. Everything is pretty much everything, any occupation at all is service industry, because you're always working to support people in some aspect or some degree.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially every job has a service element to it. So what I wanted to say was, it seems like what has disappeared from work, from the workplace and from occupations, is there was always an element of training. When you first get to a job, there's an orientation portion,
yep.
and there's a degree of training where they would show the people, here's how you do everything that you do on the actual job itself,
mm-hmm.
and there's a part of this that has to do with dealing with or working with the people that you are serving, whether that is in a food service or hospitality, or whether it's in healthcare and nursing and doctors, or whether it's in mechanics or things like that. They had a portion of time, and I might be aging myself here, that they would include or incorporate in the training. Here's how you work with the public on stuff. Here's what they're going to throw back at you.
Yes.
They tell you right up front. People are going to come in, if you work in a shop, in a restaurant, whatever, they're going to be dissatisfied. They're going to be frustrated about something. Here's how you kind of bring them in line without cursing or cussing or putting them down or condescending to
mm-hmm.
them. Here's how you bring them in line, because they come to you because they want the service that you're providing. So you accommodate them. You don't have to get on your knees or anything like that, but you accommodate them. There's ways that you do this in a matter of just within a minute, within seconds, basically, of the way you carry yourself, the way you handle yourself, the way you speak to them.
Yes.
And automatically, people just fall right into place, and then you can deal with them directly, one-on-one. They can be open and honest with them. You don't have to sugarcoat anything. You don't have to lie about anything. You tell them exactly what you're providing to them, and they know how to make themselves satisfied based upon what you're delivering in your service.
Mm.
And it has disappeared. That nowadays it might say it in the company paperwork,
yeah.
or it might say it on the placard on the window of the outside of the business.
That's right.
But it is missing from what they actually do, and a lot of that has to do with they don't want to spend the money because they don't think it's significant anymore. But toward the public, they'll say, "Yeah, we do all these things to accommodate people. We have the best working staff and the best this, that, and the other." But that's gone. They don't bring people together because you're meeting the entire public. And irregardless of what your background is, where you come from, who you deal with, and when I was younger, it didn't matter whether you were somebody who was not used to seeing people from the city.
That's right.
Or seeing people from not from the city. Quote,
mm-hmm.
You got to a workplace and you learned. They taught you. Here's how you deal. And then after a very quick while, you learned. You became human. You said, "Oh, this is how it is. I'm meeting people that don't look like me, don't talk like me.
That's
and
right.
I'm perfectly comfortable with them." You know, that's. I think it's completely gone now. They took that element out of it. I think because of money, for one thing, and I also think because, for other sort of nefarious reasons, certain organizations or businesses sort of wanted to take that element away and only do things for certain sets of people. And kind of here's where it's gotten us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my comment.
Dan, you are on the money. I think Dan is really speaking to where we have lost that grace, that customer service, where I remember I've been in stores where I have seen customers literally talk to clerks like they are inhuman, disrespectful. And before I realize what I have done, I've jumped up to the aid of that clerk. And I said, "Well, who do you think you're talking to like that? How dare you talk to this person like that?" I really have a very low tolerance for disrespect. You're certainly not going to talk to me that way, and I'm not going to watch you talk to someone else like that. I'm not going to do it. And if you're my child, if you're my niece or my nephew, and I see you be disrespectful to someone, if we go into a restaurant and you're short and you're curt with someone, I'm going to ask you what your problem is. Did you have a rough night? Did you not sleep well? Did someone pee in your Cheerios? What is going on? Al's on the line calling from Baltimore. I wish y'all could have saw my producer's face when I said that. Al, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
You're live and on the air.
Okay. Hey, I heard everybody sharing their experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I got to do this one.
Okay.
Sunday night, I was out with my sister and wife. And I was on Charles Street.
Mm-hmm.
The restaurant's on Charles Street. So I'm not going to mention the name because I had a good time after all. But what it was, let me pull over real quick. What it was, the waitress, as soon as we came in the door,
mm-mm.
I mean, immediately, as soon as we came in the door, the lady said, may I help you? Okay, that was fine. You know, we want a seat 3. But she said, right away, we don't have any chicken wings.
Oh!
Right away. I said, oh, my God. See, I didn't hear it. I got to admit. my sister heard it. So I'm walking. We went and sat down. And, my sister and my wife was going back and forth with it.
Uh-oh.
And I said, well, what happened? What did she say? Because I didn't hear it. I heard her say something, but I couldn't understand what she was saying. So that tells you. She was a foreigner,
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, if she spoke plain English, relatively speaking, I would have understood her. So they told me what she said. Once I heard it, I said, I'm going to have to deal with this. So I got up, go to the bar, because I want to ask for the waitress. I didn't see her. She went in the back.
Mm-hmm.
All right, she came back out. So I walked over to her. Now I'm thinking civility and do it nicely. This is a teaching moment.
Yes, a teachable moment.
So I said, could you come over to the table first chance you get? Come over to the table. We want to talk to you. So we talked to her. We let her know that was the wrong thing to say, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to admit, she took it real nicely. The problem was, she explained to us that when she sat people down and told them, you know, they ordered chicken wings, she told them they didn't have them, people have walked out on her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you know, I had to give her a little bit on that.
Mm-hmm.
But we did explain to her, you can't do that. You know, let the people order first. And
that's
then
right.
There's a nice way to tell someone that you don't have what they want.
Al, I appreciate it. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, but yeah, I had to sit there and contemplate for a minute. I couldn't even finish talking to the lady. I had to let my sister take over so I wouldn't say the wrong thing.
Mm.
But my sister handled it real well, so.
Al, thanks for sharing that story with us. You know, what Al is saying, and I think he is on point, there are teachable moments. There are ways to handle disrespect. And oftentimes, meeting disrespect with disrespect is not the answer. Many of you know I've worked for 3 mayors, really worked for 4 mayors here in this city. One of those mayors, if you were to yell at her, if you were to get loud with her, she would start talking softer, and you would get louder and louder, and she would just start talking. And I watched her do this time and time again. We'd be at town hall meetings, and people would be, ah, blah, 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 and they would be screaming and yelling, and she would start talking softer. and they would calm down. They would start trying really hard to hear what she had to say. And it was a great mechanism that she used to diffuse tense situations, that you're not going to yell and scream at me. And she didn't want to yell and scream back at you, so she would just slowly but surely, her voice got softer, and it worked. Dennis is calling from Jacksonville, Maryland. Dennis, I appreciate you listening. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call. You know, the funny thing is, when I hear your radio station, I catch pieces of it, so I don't fully always catch, you know, what was talked about before. But I got the sense we're talking about narcissistic insults.
Mm-hmm. Being civil to each other, yes.
Yeah, you know, and I experience them all the time. And I used to know how to deal with them at one time. They didn't bother me. But as I've gotten older, I find myself becoming more and more offended by them. And I find myself kind of losing the ability to put Band-Aids on them and rationalize them away. Because I think that's what we do today.
Of course, yeah.
In the line of, like, trying to create coping skills, or, like, this is the appropriate way, this is how you should act in this situation. And sometimes if we should confront these things, I don't know. You know, a couple callers back, I heard something about, if I'm correct, you know, how you grew up, and if you acted out, the neighbor could come. Am I correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The neighbor could come and you know, grab you by the scruff of your neck, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I'm 63, and I grew up in a small town from Pennsylvania. And that was kind of the status quo back then, like if you acted up on the block. And,
mm-hmm.
But in hindsight, I thought differently about it now. There were a lot of Korean and World War II vets who were very angry.
Oh, wow.
And displaced a lot of anger on people because they had, I'm not blaming them, but there was a lot of this expectation, like, you should behave in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And they would kind of force themselves upon you, and it was like the status quo. And I don't think that's necessarily good either.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think it was kind of like maybe PTSD that was transferred into some kind of displacement. I don't know, man. You know, but it's a very complex. I love talking to you guys because you talk so real. And I don't know. When I call in, I really don't know if I really have much to contribute, and I kind of like lose my way.
But, Dennis, I appreciate you listening and calling and sharing your perspective. This is what public radio is all about. Everybody brings different experiences and different life experiences to the table. My journey has been very different than your journey. Your journey is very different than what I grew up doing. And so it's a very important dialogue and conversation. William's calling from Laurel, Maryland. William, thanks for listening. Welcome to Today with Dr. K.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, sir.
I haven't heard from you in a while.
It's been a minute.
A couple of things. Number one, I don't know. Have y'all seen that video of some black people down in Disney?
Yeah, we saw Disneyland. Oh, it's just embarrassing.
Disney World down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Down there fighting Agatha Simpson.
I think it was in California.
Okay.
Disney yeah.
Uh-huh. Land.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's horrible.
Two, what you were talking about that little fella, what it was a graduation, and the lady was introducing everybody, was speaking and, you know, welcoming the parents and everything. He told her to shut the F up.
Yes.
And she was like, did you ever had a day or something to that effect? And he's like, no, B.
Right?
So they snatched his little butt up, out of the seat and took him in the back.
Mm.
But the main thing is, we don't have respect for each other. You said that earlier. That's the thing we've lost when it comes to black folks.
Yeah.
It's real. I mean, you can see it because look how much we're killing each other.
Yes.
You know, and
no
that,
respect.
And that really, really bothers me, you know. And everybody want to blame the other people, white people, because they want to say, well, the white people brought the drugs in the neighborhood. Okay, you don't have to use these drugs. You don't have to let this stuff stay
around. You're right.
You know?
You're right.
Talking about bringing in guns, put the alcohol all in. Okay, but we still have that choice whether or not we want to use it or not. And if we don't use it, all this stuff will leave our neighborhood because
mm-hmm.
they realize that this stuff is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. But as long as it's doing what they want it to do, then they're going to keep it in our neighborhood. But we got to get back to loving one another. And another thing that was taken away from us, parents chastise male children. Because I'm going to tell you, I come from a strong black family. My mother, my father, my grandfather, aunts, uncles, all of them. I'm going to tell you now, I remember when, if you try to suck your teeth and roll your eyes.
Oh, my Lord.
Boy, get ready. You on your way to lose her to the hospital, because that was the hospital at the time when I was coming up. You know? But we got away from that, Anthony. We got away from chastising our children. Mm. A lot of parents are what I call PAPs, and P-A-P,
mm-hmm.
P-A, pump a punt,
uh-oh.
Right? Because they scared of their children. They let them get away with stuff. They let them do things. They let them run the house. They let them pick the meal for the day and all of that. No, you didn't have that in my household.
Mm-mm.
This is what's going on with mom and them. Okay, we got this for dinner. One day with dinner, I tell you what, you'll starve, because that's what's for dinner today. You don't eat it too late, you know, and keep it moving, you know. They didn't play into this. I don't want this, and I don't. They didn't do that, you
Mm-mm.
know. I can go on and on, man, but I know you got to
William, I appreciate
home,
you.
So I'm going to go ahead.
Thank you so much. William just, he spoke my life. I recall my brother walking down the hall. My mother and I were in the living room. My brother was saying something to my mother, and he sucked his teeth. He was halfway down the hall. I'm sitting beside my mom on the sofa. Before I realized what my mother had done, she took off one of her wooden clogs. Y'all remember those clogs that women used to wear with the leather strap, and it was a wood heel? She threw that shoe. It looked like it went around the corner, down the hall, and I heard this dunk where it hit him on his head. And all he did was suck his teeth. Angela's calling from Baltimore. Angela, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call, Anthony.
Appreciate you calling, love.
I was calling because I don't believe that the lack of civility is anything new.
Mm-hmm.
It's been on the decline for decades. It's not something that social media fostered. It's just been declining. And part of it is not being, for a lot of people, they just weren't taught how to be civil.
Mm-hmm.
For some folk, it's they're disrespected, so they return disrespect with more disrespect. And I think part of the problem, because I am a millennial, so I'm in my mid-30s.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people forget that we were raised by parents who were drug addicts under the crack epidemic.
Oh, yep, Angel. Yep.
A lot of us, we didn't get that home training, and for a lot of us, we took to heart that lesson of if you give respect, you get respect. And respect isn't given, it's earned.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us, we didn't respect our elders because they were strung out. So we know not to respect our elders. And I've seen, and also doesn't help that I work, that I have a job working where I encounter a lot of folks from social services. I'll see people in their 70s, their 60s, their 80s, cussing folk out.
Mm.
I'm like, wow, Grandma, you're really going into a person because of the pettiest little thing.
Mm.
So this isn't something new. It's not because 80-year-old Grandpa has been on Twitter for too long. No, it's just for some reason he is angry, he is disrespectful, or feels that he can act any kind of way because he's an elder.
Angela, I got to run. We're running out of time, folks. We only have about 4 minutes left. I'm going to try to get to these last two callers. Messina's calling from Baltimore. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Anthony, for having me. It's always a pleasure to hear you on air.
Thank you.
I'll keep my comments brief.
Great.
I actually grew up in the Virgin Islands.
Uh-huh.
And having moved to New York and then subsequently Baltimore when I was 8, hadn't been home in a while. So after 15 years, going back to the island, and I'll be walking down the street and hear, good morning,
wow.
afternoon. And the thing is, what we would call corner boys, right,
mm-hmm.
in Baltimore language, those boys in the island would speak. And I remember walking past a pair of them, and they said, morning, like, I know you see me standing here type of thing. And not because they were trying to kick game or holler, it's just a standard.
Mm.
And so I think Yeah, girl, you know better. You was raised a different kind of way. Morning, good afternoon, how y'all doing? And so that's the thing I'm going to encourage is that if we pick it up and emulate it and create that standard, it's going to flourish. And we can't think that young people or these corner children, you know, that we try and regulate them to a certain place, that they won't pick it up as well, because they absolutely will. So thank you for hearing
me. Messina, thank you so much. Michael's our final caller of the day. Michael's calling from Baltimore County. Michael, we only have 2 minutes left. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, sir.
Good. I grew up in a community where everybody knew everybody.
Yeah.
So we spoke. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, because of the transition over the years, people don't speak to you when they're driving down the street. Right? But I still speak to everybody because I think it's polite.
Yep.
I think it's cordial. Let your neighbors know that you care. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's one particular thing I wanted to say. But the other thing is that I've been in and out of...
Running out of time, Michael.
Asian stores.
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes I've been very disrespected.
Mm.
So instead of spending my money in that store, I decided, no, I'm going to leave.
Michael, that has to be the final word. Folks, thank you. Thank you so much for participating in this conversation about civility. We can do better. I think Messina hit it on the head. Maybe we need to emulate the things that we know to be right. And then when people see us treat each other with respect, say good morning, say good afternoon, they pick up those habits as well. Thank you to all of our callers for participating. Thank you for calling in, sharing your perspectives. Thanks to the production team. We really appreciate you. I'm Anthony McCarthy, sitting in today on Today with Dr. K. Dr. K will be back. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your program. Have a great evening.